Aaron Ray Herring. I live at 3228 Clapholster Road, Gloucester, Virginia. 693-4498, telephone number 804, area code.
Calvin Morrow. I live at 1207 Stevens Street, Greensboro, North Carolina. My serial number was 6564998.
My name is Richard Jones. I live at 2407 Elmhurst Drive, Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28304. My serial number is 6565089.
My name is John Gilmer. I live at 3532 California Court, Columbus, Georgia, 31906. I don't know my serial number.
Name is Hewitt L. Lawrence, 4421 Fleming Street, Aiden, that's an A-Y-D-E-N, North Carolina, 28513, serial number 6564890.
It's Abe Thurman, 804 Mulberry Street, Beaufort, North Carolina, 28516, serial number 6564885.
I like them. Put my serial number in it too. I still remember it. It's Ray Herring. My serial number was 656-4940.
Well, there's obviously nothing the matter with anybody's memory here. Listening to you this morning, it's obvious your affection for the band and the group of men that were in it. I wonder if you'd spend some time trying to guess what your lives might have been like had you not been in the band. What were you planning to do before the war?
Okay.
What I had planned to, as I said this morning, I was majoring in horticulture before I got in the band. I got in the band because I played clarinet in a university band, college band rather. But I was going to be a horticulturist.
When I was in high school, the only plans I had at that time was to finish high school, and college was pretty much out of the question for me. I saw no way to get into college because I already had sisters in college and there just wasn't enough money. So I really had no other plans other than finishing high school, probably coming out and getting a job. But the band sort of the whole thing that changed my life, this band, it changed my whole life. It gave me an opportunity to go to college, gave me an opportunity to learn a lot from a lot of more experienced people. Since I was the youngest one in there, I had the least amount of experience. I had a chance to learn from them. And like I say, college was in there. And then after learning about music, studying music in the band, then I continued with music upon getting out of the band. I studied at A&T College and I went on to teach band for 33 years.
Well, in high school, all I wanted to do was get out. That was the number one goal. And near the end of high school, I read about the Postal Service. And I was really ready to go into the Postal Service. But thank goodness, this came along, the band. And I was glad to get in the band because that just took everything away. And then it gave me an opportunity after the band to go to college, finish college, become a teacher, and then become a principal.
Well, I just come out of high school, and I wanted to go into college, and I wanted to go into law. I don't know exactly what branch of law or what, but I wanted to go into the field of law. But after I went into the Navy, into the band, and I came back, it seemed like that law, I forgot all about it. And so I found out that my mother and father, they wanted me to be a doctor. But I had no idea as hell being a doctor. And so after I came back, I went to A&T for about a year and a half on the GI Bill. Then I left there, and I went back into service. And I stayed until I got my retirement in. And I've been out about 36 or 7 years now.
What, you mentioned the branch you went back
to. The Army. Airborne. Mm-hmm. Jumping out of the planes.
But you had a band.
Yeah, I was in the band too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the Army band too. He was 2nd Airborne Division Band, 1st Division Band.
So who do you cheer for when the Army plays Navy? Mm-hmm. Who do you cheer for when Army plays Navy?
I don't cheer at all. I don't cheer at all. I just let them go. Yeah, we'll win.
You've been in Navy 2nd.
Yeah.
That's a tour 9.
Yeah. That's a big Navy 2nd. They had a provisional band there and a division band.
Well, you know.
Now that's when you start to date now. That's, that was probably about 50.
Okay, that's just when I went there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Huey Lawrence went to the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania schools K through 12, loved high school, fell in love with music. Mother loved stage shows, and I saw Louis Armstrong about 1934. That did it. Begged for a bill. I used to wake up everybody in the valley, worked in the steel mill every morning, wake them up. I was fortunate enough to go to Shinley High School, which has a lot of graduates that went professional music. And that became incentive for me to hit the road. And Pittsburgh at that time was full of nightclubs, theaters, and that was my dream. But it changed when my high school coach saw that I was kind of rough, you know, around on the soccer field. He put me into a football uniform, not fortunate, but made the team. And that particular year, we won the city championship. And so he doctored up the books so he could keep his boys for another year. He had gotten about 8 or 9 black fellows that he put on his team. And everyone came from a section called the Hill District. But we took a little celebration down in town, and we got caught. And so went before the principal, who was kind of on the reverend side, Mr. Hartley. He looked at my record and said, "You're not taking English." I said, "No, sir, I'm not taking it. Dropped it." He said, "What?" Next thing I knew, he had the coach and the counselor in his office. Next thing I knew, he said, "You're not going to stay up and play football." Said, "Now you can either go to summer school or continue another year." So I go to summer school. And the next thing I knew, I received a letter from a coach from Boston College, Roddy Bernard. And so he interested me in coming to a place called Greensboro, North Carolina. And so the YMCA director knew something about Greensboro, and so they chose me, another fellow from Shinley, another outstanding player from a place called McKees Rocks in Pennsylvania, and New Kensington. And so I do have a picture showing us guys with a chest stuck out. We're going down south. And when we got to Greensboro, and I met the people there, as I said before, it changed my whole life, a new status on my adventures. And then by hearing about the band, I gave up the football, and that is my career. And then Mr. Thurman came along, and he introduced me to some young lady that all of you are looking at, and that further changed my mind. So here I am in North Carolina, been here since 1941, and haven't regretted a moment.
They would be something Thurman would do.
Big history there, huh? It's Abe Thurman, originally from Newark, New Jersey. our folks on our side had planned on going into the medical field, so when I went to A&T, I was taking pre-med. So I had 3 years of pre-med before I joined the band. He said, well, why did you join the band? You had 3 years of pre-med. I didn't know whether I could get into medical school right away then or not before the Army drafted me. So this opportunity came for the band, and I took it because they said, well, since you play piccolo, you don't find many piccolo players, so it would be easy to join a band. But this was just put on hold, the medical aspect of that, because when I left Newark, there was a doctor there. He said, well, when you get through at college, I can easily get you in med school. Because he wanted me to take over his practice and so forth. And as you can see, that went kaput. Because once I got into music, for some reason, I seemed to like it. And then I imagine I didn't see what was ahead as far as medical concern, the way you see bodies and people are cut open and things of that sort. Well, I found out later on I wasn't made up for that kind of stuff. So I stayed in the music. And my major, naturally, wasn't music. It was chemistry and biology. But since I was in the band, I learned a lot of things in the band by learning how to just as a ray, by learning how to transcribe the arrangements and learn how to write music and so forth. Then switched back over to the trumpet, because when I went to A&T, I was a trumpet player, but they said they had too many trumpet players, so they sent me down to Ahern and said, and Ahern dared me to play the piccolo. And anybody dared me back in those days, when you're from up north there, especially hang around them gang, don't dare them. So I learned to play the piccolo, and in 6 months I was in A&T band playing the piccolo. And from that point on, everything came all right. I went back to school after I got out of the service, not directly, because I got out in January, and so my mother and father said, we gave you 3 years, why can't you give us one? So I said, well, I'll go back in September. They said, why don't you go back now? The quarter starts in March. So I went back to Greensboro in March, and I looked around. I said, well, I'm not ready to go back yet. So I came back home and said, no, they couldn't take me in there. It was filled up because I didn't have to try. But I knew I was going back in September. So while I was up there, I just started playing with bands and so forth. So I played with three different bands up there while I was up there between Newark and New York. Got the union card. Couldn't work in New York because if you didn't have an 802 card, you couldn't work in the city. So I just worked around in Jersey so far than that. Then I went back to A&T. Then I met the fellas once again, and then we came on. I finished school. And Randolph Johnson, who used to play at the band before the war, he had gotten a principal job, and he said, well, I need a band director in Beaufort. I had not intended to go into teaching. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Of course, I said, after all these years in service, I'm going to do anything I want to do. And so I knew three fellows that wanted jobs. I gave them the name of those three fellows, and each one of them fell apart. They said they got jobs someplace else. Then he said, Abe, well, you promised me you'd come if they didn't come. So I said, well, I'll give you 1 year. So I came to Beaufort in 47. And that 47 extended to 37 years.
One important thing happened to me while I was in the Navy. But this is important. It changed my whole life. I got married. I was only 18. That was in 1944. Just before we went overseas. And that sort of changed everything for me. Was when I got out of service, and I had to start college. I never been there, so out of high school. So, wife and I went to Greensboro. That's where my home was originally. But A&T was right there. So the A&T, in fact, both of us enrolled in A&T, and this was in the winter quarter, January quarter of 1946. I was got out in 45. January 46. Both enrolled. Of course, she couldn't stay there long because in a little while she was pregnant. That sort of did it for her. And that did it for me too. because I went to school. I finished in 3 years. I went to year round.
Something went all the way around. Yeah.
So I came out. I finished up in the fall quarter of 48. But my graduating class was a class of 49. I had to hurry up and get out. Each year I was there, there was another child. So I had to hurry up and get out of there so I could do better than that $110 or $20 the government was giving us to live on. Because we made it on that with some outside work and playing jobs and bands and everything. We made it. And then from there, I just went on into teaching 1 year in North Carolina and 32 years in Newport News, Virginia.
Well, let me ask you this. If someone came to you today who was the same age as you were when you went into the band and asked you for your advice about whether to go into a Navy band today or to do something else, what would you tell them?
That's interesting.
And imagine this kid to be just like you at that age.
I sent two kids. I sent three kids to the Navy school. One of them, by way of college, and then he went on into the Navy school. And two, right from high school into the Navy school, because they were good in music. They were top-notch musicians in high school, and I knew they could make it Navy school of music, which is a rough school. You got to be good to go there. You can't go there and wait to get good. You got to be good to pass tests to get in the armed forces school, they call it now. So if I saw a good musician, a young musician, and he didn't know which way to go, I said, well, you go into service and you'll learn a lot and it'll help you become a man, and then you'll be doing something that you like to do.
If I had to advise a student coming out of high school now, and since we don't have national emergency. Let's remember, national emergency and peacetime. I would suggest to that student, go to college. Go to college, because unless you go to college and finish, it's pretty difficult to get a decent job in our society. Now I'd like to back up a little. We talk about socialism in this country. The minute you mention the word socialism, our capitalistic society comes down on you. But the best thing that happened to me in my entire life was the socialism that we had in the GI Bill that gave me my education, because without that, I doubt very seriously that I would have gotten it when I got it. I probably would have got it eventually. But the GI Bill, which I consider as being capitalistic socialism, was the best thing that happened to the men of World War II.
I'd like to mention some things I haven't said before. When I came out of the Navy, I had this great idea about playing with a big band. As an old boy, I'd love to do that. But when I went to get discharged, we had to spend the night in Raleigh, North Carolina, and that same night Erskine Hawkins was there with his band. And his band, I saw those guys when they came in. They looked awful. And they stayed in the same little dump that I stayed in. And it was nice and clean, but the bed bugs like ate up. So that one experience changed my mind. I said, I don't want to do that. Then I decided I wanted to play in a studio orchestra. So I went to Northwestern University. I studied with a man that played in John Philip Sousa's band. And I said, Mr. Chimera, I'd like to be in the studio band. He says, well, You play your instrument well enough, but most of those guys play three and four instruments. So that changed, that knocked that out. Then I got into teaching. And I've been teaching ever since then, I mean, 1951. And I taught most in universities and colleges. I did spend, right here was my first job. I taught at Epps High School here in Greenville for a year. Went back, got a master's, I taught in some colleges, and I was teaching in North Carolina Central, and I kept trying to get a promotion. They said, well, you got to get another degree. So then I went back and got a PhD. Worked night and day, 3 years. When I got out, they offered me a $500 raise. And so I didn't go back. And then I went to Maryland. I taught in public schools there for 9 years. Then I got an opportunity to go to Fayetteville. So I've been in Fayetteville since 1980. But I don't know what I would advise a youngster there to go through that kind of thing or not, because if you're dedicated, it's fine. If you love it, I loved it. In fact, when I was working at Central, I liked the band so well. This is the truth. I hated to see weekends. I hated to see holidays. I hated to see the summer because I was just all band. But I got away from that. I kind of grew up.
Well, if somebody would have asked me about joining the band in 1942, I told them, yeah, going in. I said, because you don't know what's going to happen. You may get drafted. I said, if you can't go into the band, go to college or go to school or try to stay out of the war. But now, if you'd asked me now about a band, I would tell you to go ahead and get your education, because I think the education is more important there than anything else. Because if you don't have education there, you out. But back in 42, I was told to go in band if you got an opportunity.
Well, I'm listening. I think we're all in accord. I've been in a position, having taught 12th grade in small rural schools, they put you on all type of little committees and all this type of thing, guidance and so forth. Back in the days in which we were prevalent, things were glamorous. We hadn't seen the world. A band or orchestra could come to town. When they got on the stage and entertained, they were dressed. The music sounded good. Instruments looked pretty. A lot of glamorous young ladies standing around, people dancing happy. I'd like to do that. Those were those days. But today, whole different ball game. There's too many opportunities out here for our young folks to say, well, I want to do music. Yes. Everybody wants to do music because it sounds good to them. They have these false instruments. You can push a button, some type of horn or keyboard or something comes on and people get them to sing. But now, how are you going to get bread and meat on the table? Everybody's singing and playing. Now, if I knew that you were an exceptional person, dedicated to learning music so that you will be competitive, you have something to offer, I mean music, not this overnight stuff in which you see the Beatles made millions or the Supremes, all those folks, fleeting. Get your education. I had experience of sending a trumpet player to A&T under Carson's tutelage there in 1963. The guy was good. He was a natural born trumpet player, natural lip, no problem in reading the music, articulation. I took him through the Arvin's book. Carson saw his potentials, gave him a 4-year scholarship. First time they had done this at A&T. He went, made first chair, and I think he couldn't take all the accolations. He went home that Christmas, he never got back to A&T. He went up north. People got him up there, and the glamour got him. His music left him. His mind blew. That was the end of him. See, nothing to go on to. So going back to the original statement, yes, music is nice. I learned it, not the hard way, but by guys back during the late 30s and 40s that looked out for the youngsters. They told me what to watch out for. They showed me things. You see, I listened. I wanted to get on the road. This band gave me an opportunity to really experience the niceties of the music. Now when I got out and thought about big time, I found out that that is not what I wanted. I just told you that the guys were terrible. They were envious. They would do you in, no principles. That's not all of them. But if you only knew, you see the band like Duke Ellington. Oh, boy, someone, they look this and that. They hated one another. How do I know? I personally knew some of the guys in the band. Count Basie, Grover Mitchell is leading this band now, if he hasn't passed on. He came up in our area, and he said that that was one of the worst bands he ever been with. The guys hated one another. See, and he went down to Gauntlet because he'd been there. So the advice now, we were fortunate people that after the war, being with music, we had time to be influenced by one another. Listen to them. I'd listen. I changed my whole itinerary. I gave up a four-year scholarship in football at A&T, guaranteed. I had that. But I chose to go with the Navy because I loved music. And after I got out, I put the football down. I lost my scholarship, but I had the GI. And I went into teaching. I loved the rural setting because I felt children out there could use my advice. So I have a son. He loved music, but as I told him, you have to do more than strum a guitar and beat a drum. Now, what are you going to do to put that bread and meat on the table? And this is what we face our youngsters now. Please advise them, go to college, do what your talent calls for, and make a living.
Well, most of my years, I always, for some reason out there, Gail always gave me senior homerooms. So, I mean, I had access most of the time to those who plan on going to the workforce or either going into college and so forth. Most of the time I advise them to go to college and rather than go into service. I say if you're going to service, you don't know actually what you're going, it's kind of tough because it's regimented. And if you're not able to take orders and things of that sort, it's better for you not to go there. Of course, if as far as the music concerned, those that I had, as far as music concerned, they were not interested in going into the service of playing music. They were more interested in going to the college because most of the time you find a real good musicians are usually a good students too. And if they're the good students, then you would direct them to go to the college. Because one of my very good students, he just passed last Friday. I sent him to A&T. Jones, you probably know him. He knew you. His name is John Wendley.
Yeah,
John Wendley, he directed the Smithfield Selma Band for many years, and that was one of my favorites, one of the first ones I taught, and he moved into A&T, and I had others to follow him for going to A&T. I've never had any to go into service, and they asked me how I liked the service. I said, my life in service was good. I liked it during World War, and they say, do you think I would like it? I say, there's some of them I knew wouldn't like it because you can't take the regimentation. I say, of course, I tell you to do something, you don't want to do it. And I say, you go into service, you're going to have a hard time. So most of the time, I directed them to go to college if they could possibly do so. Other than that, I would tell them to go to the school where you get some some technical training or some other kind of training, but make sure you get education. Don't quit now and go to work and think you're and buy yourself a car and you'll be finished with everything of that sort.
The trade